And I try and read a variety of books. One that I just finished not too long ago was called The Smell of Sin. It's a little book. I didn't think, oh, well, there's probably not going to be like a lot in there that might be worthwhile to relate in some type of lesson. I was wrong. The person that wrote it, I don't know if he had as his goal or not to make people uncomfortable, but it worked. When we think about sin, you know, hardly anyone talks about it anymore. People may have illnesses or, well, that's just a spiritual sickness, or yeah, he has issues, or but sin, it's not something talked about much these days. But I was amazed to see how much Jesus talked about sin. In the four accounts of the gospel, when you look at the things Jesus talked about, whether it was to a single individual or to his apostles or to a crowd, a multitude, he talked about sin a lot. Why would he do that? Why would he talk about sin a lot? Well, he was serious about it. That's why. And he knew how serious sin is. So our goal this morning is to first look at what Jesus said about sin. And those cases in which he was talking to people about sin. The things that he brought out. The first thing we'll notice is how very serious sin was to Jesus. And it's easy to gloss over these verses, but I don't want us to do that. In Matthew chapter 5, we have a startling text. This, of course, is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says in verse 29 in Matthew chapter 5, and then we'll be going to Matthew chapter 18, which mentions much the same thing. But let's don't pass over these two verses very quickly. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 29. And Jesus has been talking about sin, different types of sin. He says in verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Don't pass over this too quickly. It's so easy to say, well, yeah, Jesus is just talking figuratively. He's just trying to make a point. Yeah, he's trying to make a point, all right. He's trying to say if it would come down to either sinning or cutting your hand off, cut your hand off. Literally, cut it off. See how he's trying to wake people up? See, that's what he's doing. He's trying to wake people up about how serious sin is. Jesus says it's more profitable for you to cut your hand off than to sin and go into, this is the word Gehenna here, everlasting punishment. He says it'd be better for you to reach into your eye socket, rip your eyeball out. Now that's a pretty gory image, but those are the words Jesus said. He's trying to emphasize how serious sin is. Don't think it's a minor issue. It's not, Jesus said. It is serious. It's a wake-up call. See, this is very, very early on in Jesus' teaching ministry. He's wanting people to wake up and take sin seriously. Later on, Matthew records another time where Jesus said something similar. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 8 and 9, notice how similar these words are. Again, this is a section talking about sin. Jesus says in verse 8, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. Again, Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. it's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. He says we should choose to lose an eye or a hand rather than sin, because sin, left unforgiven, leads to everlasting fire. Hellfire, he says. Was Jesus telling the truth? Well, if we believe he was the Son of God, we believe he was telling the truth. Jesus is painting a gory picture here of how we should take sin seriously. It is a major, major issue. So what is sin? When we look at the Bible, what is sin? One place, it's sin is missing the mark. It's missing the mark. It's missing the target. But when the Bible talks about sin missing the mark, what's the mark and what's the target? What is it we miss when we sin? Are the edges blurry and fuzzy, or are they clear and well-defined? When we think about a bullseye and the rings about it, are those kind of clear and are fuzzy and blurry? Are they very sharp and well-defined? Well, Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, describes sin, and he describes what missing the mark looks like. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, Paul describes to the church at Colossae what missing the mark looks like, what missing the target looks like. He says in verse 5 of Colossians 3 and following, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, that's missing the mark. Uncleanness, that's missing the target. Passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry." He says that's missing the mark. "Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived to them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these." This is missing the mark. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. "Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds." Paul says these are some examples of what it looks like to miss the mark. That's the target. He says, you're missing the target if you do that. The Apostle John describes sin in another way. He says sin is lawlessness. Sin is the breaking or the violating of God's law. You're transgressing it or you're neglecting it. Sin can also be the sin of neglect, just failing to do what's right. The Bible says that's sin. Lawlessness is rebellion. It's being unrestrained. It's doing whatever you please. It's not following God. This is what God says, but I'm choosing not to do it. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. See, that's rebellion. That's being unrestrained, unregulated. Those are some ideas from the Bible, some examples of what sin is. Well, Jesus spent a lot of time not only trying to get across to his followers what sin actually is, but what it was like to sin. And he probably spent even more time talking about what it was like to sin, what it was like to miss the target, what it was like to transgress God's law. Because knowing how it would feel to miss the target can make all the difference in the world. He wanted his followers to understand this is how it's going to feel when you miss the target, when you transgress, when you neglect God's law. This is what it's going to feel like, because being deceived about it can make all the difference in the world. So Jesus went to great, great lengths to make sure people understood to the best of his ability to describe it, what it was like, what it would feel like to sin. So what is it? What is it like to sin? Well, some people today believe sin is like a list of classroom rules that the teacher just kind of arbitrarily made up. They believe the forbidden things are all the good things in life. Oh, don't tell me I can't do that or this. I'm missing out on all the fun. Obviously, from looking at commercials, it's a lot of fun to drink. Because people are always having a good time drinking. You never see them in the hospital with liver cancer or cirrhosis of the liver. You never see the people on the homeless that are in the side streets. They've lost all their money because of alcohol. You never see that. But you see them always having a good time. It is fun to drink. That's what the message is. It's fun. Well, some people believe that's what sin is. Satan deceived Eve that way. If we go back to that account in Genesis chapter 3, notice how Satan used that idea about sin being fun. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, going down to verse 6, notice what Satan does and how he does it. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." See what he does? He says, "I know God said don't eat of it, but boy, if you do, you're going to become like God." That's how people view sin today. A lot of people view it like that. No, I want to do these things because they're fun. I don't want to miss out. Some people think righteousness is boring. I don't want to do that. Some feel sin is like fresh air. Now I can do whatever I want. I'm free to have fun. That's how some people feel about sin. But Jesus said sin is actually like an insult. Jesus said it's like a rebellion. It's like a child rebelling against their parent. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives us this account. He says, beginning in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15, this is the parable of the lost son. Verse 11 of Luke 15 says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. The son didn't have any right to do that at all. The son just wanted to have a good time. The son was just basically rebelling against his parent. And the parent was very loving and went ahead and gave it to him. So in Jesus' eyes, sin is like walking up to your mother and spitting in her face. That's how Jesus would view sin. It's like walking up to your mother and spitting in her face. That's sin in Jesus' idea. Remember Peter's betrayal? Matthew chapter 26. The low point in Peter's life. Matthew chapter 26. We'll see an example of this very thing. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 69. Matthew 26, verse 69. "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you're saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." Bitterly. You know what Jesus asked Peter a little bit later? Remember, they're on the side of the sea, they're on the seashore, and Jesus comes up to Peter and says, "Do you love me?" Says it to him three times. "Do you love me?" Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Sin is what Peter did. Peter might as well have went right up to Jesus and slapped him in the face. That's what the betrayal felt like to Jesus. It was an insult. Sin is turning from the only sword to spiritual life and starving yourself. Jesus said He's the bread of life. He's the source of eternal life. Sin's like eating rocks and dirt when you can have steak and potatoes. Why would anyone do that? But that's what people do. In Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 16 of that, we read this. Verse 16, then He said to them, this is Jesus, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. This great supper was being prepared by this man, and they all began to make excuse. I can't do that. I can't come. I can't come. I've got all these things to do. That's what sin is like. Sin is like slapping Jesus in the face. It's like rebelling. So to lie, to gossip, to be arrogant, to be proud, it's like taking your hands and choking your neck, squeezing the life out of yourself. No wonder Jesus said, lose a hand or let it choke you to death. Which is better? So when I decide to give in to temptation and sin, it's like deciding to drink Clorox bleach. It's suicide. That's what I'm doing when I decide to sin. It doesn't make any difference what it is, whether it's lying or gossiping or being arrogant or whatever. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking my hand and choking the life out of me. Spiritual suicide. To sin is to build your life on the sand. We know that in Luke chapter 6, Jesus gives us an example of someone who does that. Luke chapter 6, verse 49 says, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Sin is like building your house on the sand. It's doing the easy thing instead of the right thing. Very seldom is the right thing and the easy thing the same thing. They're almost always different. Doing the easy thing is easy. It's rarely right. Doing the right thing is building your house on a firm foundation. Doing the easy thing, it's like building it on the sand. So when I put anything above God, and that list is endless. When I put anything above God, maybe it's some type of entertainment. Well, that always comes first. Or if I put some type of sport, well, that always comes first. Or my money, or my opinions. I'm just waiting for disaster to happen. That's what I'm doing. I'm building my house on the sand when I put any of those things above God. And sin's to be in bondage. Sin is like being in bondage. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this is what sin is like. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 33. Jesus is talking to a group of Jews. In verse 33 of John chapter 8, they answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? Jesus answered them, most surely I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. See, the Jews were saying, we've never been in bondage to anyone. Sin is to be in bondage. It's like being in a dungeon. Your hands and feet are shackled, and you know what's holding you in the shackles? It's sin. Sin is shackling you. There was a rich young ruler we read about, and he was shackled by his possessions. It was like the rich young ruler was in a dungeon, and it was his possessions that were keeping him there. They were keeping him shackled. But he couldn't let them go. He would not let those possessions go. To be free, he had to let them go. So sin is like being in bondage. It's like being having your hands and feet shackled. So what can we do about it? The first thing we do that Jesus said is we have to realize what it is. In Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 14, Jesus says this. Mark chapter 7, verse 14. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand, there is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Jesus says, that's what you've got the first two. Realize what sin is. A sinner has to really, truly see the condition of their heart. And they must mourn over their sins. If there's no mourning, if there's no heartfelt sorrow, there's no forgiveness. So a sinner must realize how terrible and serious sin is. And understand that Jesus calls for drastic action. Drastic action. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews tells us this about the race that we're all running. He says in verses 1 and 2, and that'll be the end of our lesson. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, says, "Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the was set before him, endured the despite shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Who would try and run a race, trying to win, and add extra weight? No, what do they do? They try and have as little on as possible. They want to be streamlined. The writer here says that running the Christian life and shackle with extra weight, sin, will make sure you don't finish the race. Sin is the weight that so easily ensnares us. Sin trips us up. Jesus says, take drastic action. It's the most serious thing in the world. For the alien sinner, it means that they have to repent. That's a hard thing to do. They must repent and have those sins washed away in baptism. For the Christian, the one in Christ, they must also confess their sins, repent of them, and ask for forgiveness. Why? Because it is serious. It's serious. And it always has been and always will be. This morning, if there's a need in anybody's heart or mind to respond to that great gospel invitation, don't put it off as we stand and sing this song.